with me. Hey, hey, Laura, come play. Hey, hey, Laura, come play with me. Hey, hey, Laura, come play. I'm here, come play with me. I'm here, come play with me. I'm here, come play with me.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mark LaFerriere. You can find me on Twitter at Mark LaFerriere. That's at MarkLaFerriere. And we are listening to a great local Brantford band, Caffrey. You can find them on Facebook at Caffrey Folk and Rocks. They do F and Rock, but that F is Folk Rock. And you can also check out their albums. They play lots of different gigs in the Brantford area. They recently played the wonderful Music in the Square, in Harmony Square. And I actually saw them first at the Mental Health Week. First time I saw them, and I thought, wow, we really need to highlight this sort of local music. So we're highlighting local music. We're highlighting local issues on the show today. What do we have on the show? We have Allison M. Leonard, who is the president of Wilfrid Laurier University Student Publications and a former, or I should say a recent graduate of their journalism program at Laurier Brantford. And she wrote an amazing piece about the methadone clinic, a controversial subject. So in this edition of the Advocate Podcast, we're actually going to listen to her, read her words from her story, and then in the next edition, we're going to talk a little bit about the behind the scenes, the controversy, her style, how she used Twitter, actually, to do Twitter views and things like that. It's going to be an amazing two-parter, so let's get to the first part with Allison M. Leonard.
Inside the Methadone Clinic by Allison Leonard. You can follow me on Twitter at Allison M. Leonard. Straight up the stairs and to the right. And if you need anything, I'll be outside, says Steve Hannes, the Victoria Park Clinic security guard, as I make my way into the methadone clinic for the first time. If I need anything, I'm an independent young student. I eat new experiences for breakfast. I still haven't put my foot on the first step. Don't be scared, Hannes says, laughing. Should I be scared? I'm just one of over 100 who walked through the yellow brick doorframe at the corner of George and Dalhousie Street that day, but many of them have been there before. The Victoria Park Clinic has been at the center of Brantford's downtown for 8 years, and at the center of a debate for nearly two. In March 2012, the Committee for the Downtown Brantford Business Improvement Area, or DBBIA, released an issue and recommendation paper to the City of Brantford stating their concerns with the location of Victoria Park Clinic. Since then, the issue has gone to council, sparked discussion of a detoxification center, and had patients wondering whether their treatment is secure. With this in mind, I swallow my preconceived notions and walk up a narrow staircase to find something different than I ever expected. A very sterile, stark white, average in every way medical waiting room. Am I in the right place? The sterile room, lined with stiff, structured plastic chairs, has three doors. One to a reception office, one to a doctor's office, and one to a pharmacy counter. Jamie, the receptionist in loose teal scrubs, calls from behind the glass partition. Your caries are ready. A young woman, no older than 20, rises from her seat and walks to the pharmacy counter to pick up a case of small canisters before returning to her seat and tying up her dark hair. Another name is called, and the patient follows the same regimented pattern. Then another, and another. It's like a machine. I'm still standing in the doorway, an obstacle to new patients who seamlessly entered the structured flow. To clear the path, I walk quickly to the empty seat opposite the young woman with dark hair to introduce myself. As I sit down, our bodies mirror each other. Her dark hair mimics my own. We're about the same height. She's so young. No, we're the same age. We're probably obsessed with Barbie at the same time. We probably watched the same shows on YTV. We probably started high school in the same year. I take methadone because of my son, Bowden. He's 4 years old. And I can't be a mom when I'm on Oxy. Jamie Lee LaForme begins, referring to her time on a widely popular prescription opiate. I've been on the program for almost 4 months now, and this week I can take caries. She holds up the case of tiny canisters, each filled with a 50 milligram dose of liquid, drinkable methadone. Caries. No clean kiss, no carry homes. An older man in a black minor hockey windbreaker leans over Jamie to shake my hand. The sleeve of his right arm reads, Coach. Name's Jim LaFleur, and it's not my first time here either. Jamie is just one of the Victoria Park Clinic patients commuting from Hagersville, Ontario. Jim LaFleur and wife, Sherry, volunteer to drive patients to Brantford multiple times every week. And a long trek is not unique. Roughly 175 patients drive from Cambridge and nearly 200 are from Simcoe. We found Oxy in my son, Marcel's room 2 years ago, and we knew Jamie, his girlfriend, was using too, says Jim. I think we reacted differently than most patients. We offered a drive to the clinic. Jamie, boyfriend Marcella Fleur, 20, and her friend Jordan Hill, 24, rely on Jim and Sherry's half-hour shuttle to the clinic. Each of them at a different stage of tapering off their dosage. There are but 3 of the 700 seeking methadone treatment in Brantford, and 38,000 seeking treatment in Canada. The high demand for a response to opiate addiction has the province asking, why methadone? Dr. Jachinder Singh Dhillon, a doctor at Victoria Park Clinic, answers this question daily, to his patients and to those who oppose his work. Dr. Dhillon's office overlooks the Darling and George Street intersection in Brantford, Ontario, where students from Wilfrid Laurier University and patients alike make their way across the congested streets. The City Hall building is visible no more than one block away. It's like a constant reminder of the clinic's current insecurity, says Dhillon. Annette Fitch of the DBIA listens to the reasons for the 2012 suggestion that the City of Brantford relocate the Victoria Park Clinic as loss of parking, loss of customers, parking abuse, loitering, garbage, vandalism, drug paraphernalia. A full year after the letter became public, a 3-part debate amongst the city, the DBBIA, and the clinic is still present in downtown Brantford. University students, however, don't seem to share the opposition. I've never once felt unsafe, and to be honest, I rarely saw people using the services, says Candace Evans, a third-year student at Laurier Brantford, and former resident of Post House, located across the street from the clinic. The location is convenient, and yes, parking issues need to be addressed, but I'd argue that the university is a bigger culprit for parking. It goes against best practices to have this sort of business near parks, schools, retirement homes, and places of religious worship, explains Mark Gladys, Brantford City Planner, and here we have a methadone clinic right inside the church. The Victoria Park Clinic, like any other business downtown, is a lease-occupying tenant that pays rent to St. Andrew's United Church. The owners of this clinic, Fred Hussey and Mark Simone, have not been silent in the past year's discussion. This is a service that needs to be provided. We're located in a central area with decent parking and ease of access to transit and other services downtown, says Hussey. It would be a human rights issue to relocate. The Victoria Park Clinic opened in 2004. The business has occupied the same street corner for 9 years, never moving as the neighboring university expanded, or as the surrounding businesses emerged and fell in Brantford's ever-changing downtown. People are tentative to invest here because of the struggles Brantford's downtown has seen, says Gladys. Incentives are offered to desirable businesses that want to open and expand downtown. The city's master plan is geared towards making the downtown a cultural, commercial, and office destination. A methadone clinic does not fit easily into one of these categories. The services offered at St. Andrew's Church simply don't represent the city well, especially in the heart of the downtown, says Ward 1 Councillor Larry Kings. We need to find a location that still serves the need but allows for growth downtown. Whether that is done through friendly discussion, rezoning, or licensing is up for discussion. This practice is not unheard of in Southern Ontario. Alliston imposes a pricey licensing fee for any clinic hoping to open, and Woodstock zoning laws ban methadone clinics in the commercial core. Jamie fidgets in her seat. She's been here nearly 30 minutes and is now waiting for her friend, Jordan, to return from the other side of the white door, where he meets with a doctor. Every patient is different. I'm tapering off pretty slowly, but Marcel will probably graduate from the program, says Jamie. I don't think it's working very well for Jordan. The white door opens for the 20th or 30th time since I arrived, revealing a tall, broad man. No carries yet. He sits to Jamie's left, towering over her tiny frame to introduce himself. I'm Jordan. What do you know about methadone so far? What do I know? Methadone. Used for treating opiate addictions, not a great high. Drinkable. $6 a day. Dispensed here. Unless you piss clean. Then you get carries. Everyone wants carries. But good luck getting them because you have to be clean. Be clean and have a fridge. If you're homeless, you can't have carries. I don't know if anyone's told you yet, but all you need to know is that it's not really a fix. It's getting through the day so you can get a job, says Jordan, hunching over far so that his elbows meet his knees. But it's hard to get a job when you have to come here every morning. He places his head in his hands. It just feels like I can be a little more normal, says Jamie. It lets me wake up without a headache and lets me go to bed without cold sweats. The last time I had cold sweats was from a nasty case of food poisoning. Sitting straight as a board in one of the sterile white chairs, I shudder at my own privilege. Hoping to move to a subject I'm more comfortable with, I reach for a brochure on the shelf to my right. Staying clean, it reads in friendly, cursive font. Staying clean, Jamie laughs. It's not as easy as that pamphlet says. A nurse calling Jamie's name breaks the muffled voices of the 30 or so patients waiting for their daily dose. She's led by the receptionist to meet with a doctor, leaving me to flip through the pamphlet's illustrations of street temptations and how to avoid them. Evidently, many patients on methadone do not cut out other opiates altogether. They might still use, but they might only have to spend 40 or 50 bucks worth to get stoned instead of spending 200, explains Brad Kidder, a social worker at Grand River Community Health. Money doesn't go far when supporting addiction, especially if you can't hold a job. 50 milligrams of OxyContin, the now delisted prescription drug that many patients at Victoria Park Clinic are addicted to, has a street value of roughly $120. If a user doesn't have a job, it's not uncommon to find an addiction through theft or prostitution. The street value of a stolen TV is around 50 bucks, and the going rate for an act of prostitution is 20 bucks, says Kidder. Users need up to 300 to get their fix. Do the math. Filling a methadone prescription, if not covered by personal health care, Ontario Works, or Ontario Disability Support Program, costs between $5 and $6 per day. Public health care funds the service of a doctor, like in any other clinic. Though integrated in publicly funded initiatives, the Victoria Park Clinic and other methadone clinics in Ontario are for-profit businesses. The issue we will have is that it's a money-making venture by a corporation, says Brantford Mayor Chris Friel. The Ontario policy to have methadone treatment as a for-profit venture is questionable. Friel is active in leading a committee for bringing a holistic detoxification and rehabilitation facility to Brantford, as pitched by MPP Dave Levesque in February 2012. The clinic is set up to continue making money, says Levesque. If people stay addicted, the clinic keeps making money. Can you stop eating? Can you stop breathing? Asked Dylan. This is the level of addiction opiate users have, and they need a solution. Treatment, however, is no more than a temporary solution. It is said to supply a steady, long-lasting high that allows for regularity, employment, and safe relationships in one's life. Not everyone is going to taper off. I know that's why we're criticized, Dylan continues. It shouldn't be regarded as an immediate cure, but as a way to stabilize someone's life. Is the downtown in a profit-making structure even the best way to deal with addiction? Asks Friel. A rehabilitation center is absolutely necessary, but only part of the continuum of care necessary to deal with addiction. My goal is to open a holistic care center and then one day close it, says Levesque. I hope for a day when I can say we don't need it anymore. A year after the campaign's inception, the city is facing discussions on how to pay for the treatment center. Friel notes that the city cannot afford funding the facility despite their lead role in providing partners. This is a provincial responsibility, says city councillor and committee member Richard Carpenter. Mayor will pitch the need for a clinic to the Hamilton Niagara Haldimand Brant Local Health Integrated Network, or LHIN, a provincial group providing health services to over 1.4 million residents of the Southern Ontario region. The waiting room continues to fill as Jim, Jordan, and I wait for Jamie's return. The seat to my right is now occupied by a woman in her mid-30s, who hands wooden blocks to the toddler in her lap. His miniature hands trace the edges before dropping them to the floor. His mother's rewarded with a large, toothless grin. A man in a pristine suit unbuttons his coat before leaning over to rescue the rogue building block. He hands it back to the toddler. I bet you're surprised to see kids here, and people with money too, says Jim, smirking. I am. Seats fill as quickly as they empty. Each time a name is called and a patient leaves, someone of a different age, race, or economic class replaces them. I quickly become aware of my preconceived thoughts I had walking in the door. I am so naive. As noted by the DBBIA, parking continues to be the one of the primary concerns with location. The cramped downtown streets are not ideal in a high-traffic setting. We service between 700 and 1,000 patients, but that doesn't mean everyone seeking treatment is in the area, says Dylan. In order to prescribe methadone, a federal exemption is issued to doctors who have undergone extensive training. Only 370 Canadian doctors hold the certification. A lack of services and an overcrowding of the widely dispersed clinics is the result. Prospective locations are intended to provide extensive parking in a semi-industrial area, ideally near the 403. Not every patient has access to a car, and many rely on public transit or proximity to the clinic as a means of receiving treatment. This conjures thoughts of gentrification amongst those opposed to relocating the clinic. The lots on Garden Avenue with paid parking and poor bus access, asked Mark LaFerrier, a social worker at Grand River Community Health. That's a disaster. What's next? Removing the emergency meal service downtown or placing a curfew on park use? The research tells us that a location near other health facilities, like the hospital, is the most logical space, Labatt counters. Resources, travel, and expenses could be shared. So far, there are no concrete plans for relocation of the Victoria Park Clinic. It's as if each patient returns from the doctor's office with a different progress report. I've been guessing with the passing of each patient. Maybe they've made the switch from 70 milligrams to 60. Maybe they've tested clean for a whole week. Maybe they're still feeling the burn of withdrawal in their chest. Jamie's the last person I see return from the white door to the doctor's office that day. So what's this article about anyway? Jamie asks, folding herself into the original seat opposite myself. How everyone wants the crackheads as far away from the university as possible? I hope it's not about just that. I lean forward for a moment, as if reaching for a better answer. Our body structures are a perfect parallel again. I try to formulate an appropriate response, returning to the mirror in my mind. We probably felt the joys and trials of first loves, best friends, and adulthood at the same time. We probably went to prom in the same year. We're probably both wondering what we'll be doing when we're 40. Everyone wants students like you to move to town, she speaks before I've even opened my mouth, but not us methadone patients. Jamie, Jim, and Jordan all rise, ready to leave, and I follow them to the door. I think the community will decide what it's about. I finally open my mouth in a stuttered response. A relocation of the clinic won't affect patients like Jamie who commute to the clinic. How the province and community address addiction will change her life. Maybe if you talk to more people, you know what you're looking for. I'll be back next week, so we can talk then, Jamie says, her words echoing in the same narrow staircase I climbed an hour ago.
And that was Allison M. Leonard's amazing piece, Inside the Methadone Clinic. She wrote that originally for a Waterloo University, Wilfrid Laurier, I should say, University course. It's a 3,000-word piece. It's a long piece, but I think it's a really important one, and we're happy we were able to actually adjust some things in the Brand Advocate print edition so that we could print these stories, not just Allison's, but others that were part of this huge journalism project that the students here do. The methadone clinic is a controversial topic, and on the next edition of the Brand Advocate podcast, Allison and I are going to talk a little bit about her experience beyond the story that you just heard. We're going to talk a little bit about maybe the motivations for doing the story, the reaction, how she used Twitter to get a lot of quotes and a lot of reaction as well. It's a tough issue for a lot of folks in this community. I'm quoted in the story, so I guess full disclosure there. And I think, you know, I have a point of view on the methadone clinic, but we're going to talk in a different way about it. So I want to thank Allison for doing that recording on the camp that they were at a retreat that the Advocate was happy to be a small part of, helping with community development and ideas around print and media and what they can do. So until next time, as we always say, keep on advocating. But before that, let's pop out with Caffrey, who is an amazing local artist, a two-person group. I saw them at Mental Health Week, so this might be a fitting pairing of music and story. They played Mental Health Week, and they were excellent. So check them out. I think Caffrey Music is where you can check them out. Okay, so again, until next time, keep on advocating.
I'll keep you beside me, feed you what you need. Educate you with all you need to know. try.